Good morning. You guys doing well?
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding. Good to have you with us. Are you happy to be here?
Yeah.
Ooh, I love it. I'm happy you're here. And if you're not happy that you're here, I'll be happy for you that you're here. Good to have you with us. I want to welcome those of you that are on YouTube Live right now. Thank you for joining us. Grab your sermon notes. We're going to wrap up this teaching series. We began at the very beginning of this year. Fully devoted, a 5G life in Christ. This is a mission, vision, purpose worth living and dying for, believe me. There is no problem in life that full devotion to Christ cannot solve. Nothing will give you more satisfaction, happiness, and contentment than being a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. This is not hyperbole, believe me, this is not hyperbole. And the only regret you will have is that you didn't do it sooner, become fully devoted to Christ. Now, I asked you to memorize the 5G process. So a fully devoted follower of Christ is genuine, growing, giving, going, all for God's glory. And sounds like you did. Many of you did. So we're just going to practice it a couple more times. And I also asked you to ask yourself, actually, if you've been going through this series, the Holy Spirit's been probably asking you this question or convicting you about what is your next step in becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ. Where are you in this list of genuine growing, giving, going, all for God's glory? You're somewhere there. Maybe you're not even on the list, and that would mean that you need to commit your life to Christ. You need to come put your faith in Him and for all that He's done for you. So where are you on that list, and you want to continue to progress through the list? But let's practice it here just really quick, nice and loud, with a lot of passion this morning. One, two, three. Oh, wait a minute. A fully devoted follower of Christ is one, two, three, genuine, growing, giving, going, all for God's glory. One more time. Genuine, growing, giving, going, all for God's glory. You're somewhere in that process. I hope you're living it out completely. All five of those G's. Take a look at your sermon notes here. They're fully devoted, a 5G life in Christ. The genuine Christian walks with God. This is fellowship. This is the best part of the Christian life, intimacy with God. The growing Christian lives God's word. That's discipleship. That's the biblical word for it. So you're going to be not conformed to this world, but you will be transformed by God's word. You'll be more and more like Jesus. As you walk with Him, as you spend time with Him, you'll become more like Him. And if you're genuine and growing, you will be giving. A giving Christian contributes to God's work. That's ministry. And then last week we talked about the going Christian makes an impact in this world. That's evangelism. And so this weekend we're wrapping it up. Part five, the glorifying Christian doing it all for God's glory. The biblical word for that is worship. Take a look at your sermon notes here, part of the intro. Everyone lives for something. Everybody on the planet is living for something. What you glorify, what you're living for, you are glorifying, and what you glorify shapes how you live. The fully devoted Christian lives all of life for the glory of God. In fact, it's in the everyday, even the details of our life, the big things of our life, and even the small things. Listen to what this verse says, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The word glory means weight, significance, importance. Weight, significance, importance. It means that when people look at your life, they see the weight, the significance, importance that God plays in your life. You're putting on display that He is more desirable, more satisfying than anything on planet Earth. That's living for His glory in all that you do, all that you say, how you behave, what you believe, your attitude and actions. Every part of your life brings glory to God. So being fully devoted, 5G, to God, His glory, you're living for His glory, and fullness of life in God, our satisfaction are one in the same pursuit. So Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, He was acknowledging the fact that we live in a broken world filled with sin, suffering, and sorrow. No doubt about it. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullness in the midst of that. And so as we begin to live out our life and live for His glory, this is where we're going to find fullness of life in Him. We're going to be satisfied. The more you live for his glory, the more satisfaction you're going to experience. In fact, take a look at the next point on your notes, the next thought, next sentence. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most honored in us when we are most happy in him. When we are most satisfied in him, check this out. This is incredible. This is what happens. Sin loses its deceptive appeal, and suffering loses its disillusional effect in our lives. So, here's the big idea. Worship is not just one of the G's. It is the fuel and purpose of all of them. So we aren't genuine, growing, giving, going to be seen by people. We do it all because God is worthy. We want to put him on display through our lives. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? Let's do a quick prayer here before we dive into the rest of our notes. And so, Father, open our eyes to see that you are worthy of all our devotion. Align our hearts, our lives, and our motives with your glory. In Jesus' beautiful name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. So take a look at this next part on your notes. These are your fill in the blanks. So a 5G life reframed through worship. This is really what we believe. This is the root of our lives. This is our passion. Here's the first one, genuine fellowship. We walk with God because we treasure his presence. We treasure his presence. I love what David says in Psalm 16:11. You have showed us the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is a pleasure. There is joy. There is satisfaction in the presence of God, having an intimate relationship with the living God that you cannot find anyplace else on planet Earth. Everything else is just a dim glimpse compared to what we have in him. So that's our passion. This is our belief. This is the root of our lives. Here's the next one, growing discipleship. We live by God's word because we love his truth. Here at Desert Breeze, we teach the Bible. So if you're new, welcome. We teach through oftentimes books of the Bible. This is a little more topical, this series. But next week, we start off a new teaching series through the Gospel according to Matthew. And it'll take us about 5 years to get through that. No, it won't take us that long. It'll take us about a year to get through it. But it's Kingdom Culture is the title. A King Like No Other. And we're gonna see our King up close and personal. And follow our King. And so that's where we're headed. We love God's word. Jesus said this in John 8, 31 and 32. He said, if you continue in my word, the word continue means to abide, to make your home in his word. You're interacting with God through his living, active word. All scripture is God breathed. It's the very breath of God in our lives. And so if you abide in my word, then you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? It will set you free. Oh my goodness, there's no freedom like what we have in Christ as we understand his word. That's the second part of our passion here. So genuine, growing, giving. This is ministry. We contribute joyfully because he first gave to us. Okay, now I get to share with you one of my favorite verses, okay? This was what we shared during our last teaching series through 2 Corinthians. So last year we taught through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians gives us, 2 Corinthians 8, 9 gives us, I think, one of the best definitions for the grace of God. For you know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Isn't that a beautiful definition of the grace of God? So how did he become poor? He came from heaven to earth and died in your place for your sins to reconcile you, to redeem you, to restore your life back into personal intimacy with the Father. That's amazing. And therefore, you have the wealth of his presence, the comfort of his love, the strength of his power, the significance of being called a child of God. Therefore, he has promised to protect you and provide for you and never to leave you or forsake you. Is that good or what? Nothing better. And so out of that overflow, then we begin to minister to others. Genuine, growing, giving. It's an overflow of our lives. So we contribute joyfully because he first gave to us. And then the going, evangelism. We talked about this last weekend. We make Christ known because his glory deserves witnesses. So there's five different places where we have the Great Commission. And it's really Jesus' last words to his disciples. This would be Jesus' last words to us. And one of those five places is found in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. This is Jesus talking to disciples before he ascends into heaven. And he says to them, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Literally, the root of that word is martyr. You will go to your death if need be, if you have to celebrate all that I've done in your life and who I am for you. You will give your life for me. That's Acts 1:8. Amazing. And then glorifying is where we are. Worship. The aim of everything. The Latin here is sole deo gloria. Glory to God alone. There's your fill in the blanks. Glory to God alone. Romans 11:36. For from him, this is God, for from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be glory forever and ever. So everybody look up here. Look up here. What that's saying is what you were created for. You draw air into your lungs. Your heart beats to give glory to the King of the universe. You were created by God for God to give glory to God, and he is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. So it sounds like to me, every day before your feet hit the floor is finding your deepest and most durable delight in him, enjoying him, celebrating him, talking to him, interacting with him, walking with him, obeying him, serving him, loving him, and experiencing his love, truth, and everything that he brings into your life. There's a contentment, there's a completeness that can only be found in him, and it comes as a result of beholding his glory. We become whole. We become whole. Okay, so key truth here. Worship is not just what we do on Sundays. It's who we live for every day. A fully devoted life is a God-centered life. That's a great way to live. It's an amazing way to live. God-centered life, that's your fill in the blank. So, quick illustration here. The moon and the sun. Here's what the Christian life is meant to be like. At night, a full moon is stunningly beautiful. Even in the valley here where we got all these lights, the moon, oftentimes when we have a full moon here in the valley, it's still like, whoa! It's absolutely beautiful. It's breathtaking. It's bright. It captures attention. But here's the truth. The moon has no light of its own. We all know that. Yeah. It almost seems as though it does. It's so bright. And it only shines because it is positioned to reflect the sun. And when the moon tries to be the source, it can't. That's obvious. And it doesn't produce light. It only reflects what it receives. And the more the world or the earth gets in the way, the less it can reflect the sun. You've seen a crescent moon. What's happening there? The earth is beginning to get into the way of the sun, so it's only reflecting a smaller portion of it. And so the more we are face-to-face with our Creator and experience him, we can shine brightly. But the more the world gets in between us and God, the less we shine for him. That's the analogy here. That's an important point. And that's the fully devoted life, reflecting the light of the gospel, of the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ, becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus, a 5G life in Christ, genuine, growing, giving, going, all for his glory. Here's the application. So we talked about what we believe, the root, the passion. This is how we behave. This is the fruit. These are the practices. This is what it looks like as we practice this and live this out. I didn't put this on your notes, but you can write this down. Numbers 6, 24 and 26. This is called the Aaronic blessing. And I give it to you from time to time, and it goes like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. It's an amazing blessing. And he's actually saying that, and we do that because that's ours through Christ Jesus. We have the face of God shining upon us. Imagine that. Anytime that it talks about God's face shining or it talks about the presence of God, it's actually talking about the face of God shining. He rejoices over us. He finds pleasure in us. He celebrates us as a father would celebrate his kids. He loves us. He adores us. He gives us His grace, His favor. And that gives us peace with Him and the peace that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's amazing. So as we interact with God, that's what you should understand, is that you're interacting with a God who loves you and favors you. And he loves all of us as if there's only one of us. Like we're His favorite. Like I'm His favorite. And you are too. And we're all His favorite. That's part of that. It's amazing. So here's what it looks like as the application of this is that fellowship is positioning your heart before God. God, I give you my heart. Every morning, God, I give you my heart. Lord, I want to know you. I want to experience you. I ascribe ultimate worth and value to you in such a way that it engages and energizes my whole person, my mind, emotion, will. Oh, Lord, I love you. See, that would be that fellowship. Here's the next one. I filled these in for you because we're going to race through them. Discipleship is being filled with God's truth. Man, I meditate. I memorize God's word. I love His word. He talks to me. He speaks to me. He leads me. He guides me. He'll do the same for you. Ministry is pouring out what God has poured in. He pours so much into my life. I try to get my heart so filled up. So when I come here on weekends, I'm just like, it's flowing. It's coming. It's overflowing my life. I want that every day of my life. And then evangelism is turning the world's attention toward Jesus. Just point to Him. Just keep pointing to Him. Hey, you need to get to know Him. You need to understand Him. You need to give your life to Him. And worship is the reason for it all. Not that people would look at us, but they would see Him. I want people to see Him more than anything. When it's all said and done, you know, at my funeral, I just hope that people see Jesus. I hope every day people see Jesus in my life. I want to reflect Him. So the goal isn't to shine so people say, wow, what a Christian. Or wow, what a church. Desert Breeze is an incredible church. No. That's not the whole purpose. That's not the goal. The goal is to shine so people say, wow, what a Savior. What a Savior. Because the fully devoted Christian understands this. My life is not the source, it's the reflection. All glory belongs to God. So here's the closing challenge. Ask yourself two questions. What is my next step in becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ? Who or what is getting the glory of my life? So here's the last statement here. It's on your notes. Let's live so close to the Son that the world can't help but see His light in our lives. Do you guys agree with that? Yeah, absolutely. So let your light shine before men so that they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's Matthew 5:16. So next weekend, Kingdom Culture, a king like no other. We're going to work our way through the gospel according to Matthew. You don't want to miss that. Let me close with prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? This is not the end of the service, by the way, okay? That's the shortest message I've ever heard from that guy preach, huh? You guys, I know, you guys are going, what? It just happened. What is this guy doing? I got to keep rolling because Matt needs to get up here. Okay, I'm running out of time. I got to quit talking. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done in our lives. Lord, take our genuine growing, giving, and going, and make it all about glorifying you. May our lives loudly declare that you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. For your glory and our joy in Jesus' beautiful name. And everyone said, amen. 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 So Matt's, let's give him a hand. Our executive pastor here, Matt Trusselli, he works hard. And he's going to go through really the state of our church. And you're going to see this. We're not a perfect church, but we're an incredibly healthy church. And I think you're going to really appreciate a lot of the stats that he brings to us, helps us to understand. And you'll notice also that this whole 5G process, this is how we measure the success of Desert Breeze, how healthy we are. It's based on this 5G model. So thank you, Matt. God bless you, Ray.
Thanks for going short today. I hope I'm able to do the same. Last night, we didn't get out of here till like 8:30. But I'll do my best to get you in so we don't overburden our child care workers.
So, you'll be able to do it, man.
I know. I can do it. All right. I've got the sound booth working my PowerPoint for me today. Hopefully, we can work through that fluidly as well. So as Ray said, I am the XP, the executive pastor here. I get the privilege of kind of working the business of the church and taking, gathering and presenting stats like this to you on an annual basis. As part of our bylaws, we have to have this kind of meeting, but it's also a great joy to share with you how your lights are shining so brightly here at Desert Breeze, and again, all glory is to God on that. Two purposes of the meeting, again, is to kind of quantify how we're executing when it comes to the 5G paradigm, and of course, to give thanks to all of you who make that happen and serve and support DBCC so faithfully. I want to all kind of kick off by saying thanks to Nathan, who put this PowerPoint for me together. Don Miles, our chairman of the board, of the elder board, loves to do this stuff, but we're two old guys in our 60s, so we needed somebody a little bit younger to help us make this appropriate for today. So if you love it, you can thank Nathan. If you don't like it, you can complain to me or Don. So all that transpired in the 25 calendar, ministry and financially, is the result of actions that were intentionally designed to happen. In fact, I always talk about that in the marriage classes as well. You want to have a great God-glorifying marriage. Well, it takes intentionality. It doesn't just happen. You have to kind of design what that's going to work like. So that's why we track the data, to know if we've designed things that are working or designed things that need to be adjusted in some way. So that's where this data comes from. But it's all based upon saying, okay, we want to create genuine Christians. Okay, we want those people to have opportunities to grow, okay? How do we give them opportunities to give of their time and talents and treasures, and how do we do, you know, measure that stuff? How do we do different things? But we do it all for God's glory. And we can go to the next slide. Everything we do here is done to lift up our Savior and make him boldly proclaim to a dark world that doesn't know him, to bring those from darkness into the light. And that's what you're doing and what so many of you are participating in. And we thank you for doing that. We make much of our Lord Jesus and all that. So Ray already quoted that scripture. It's a great one. It's fantastic. Of course, we're called not to sit in the seats. We're not just called to check the church box. We're called to be doers of the word. So we thank you again. If you call DBCC your family, you play a vital role in carrying out our mission. Let's move to where our mission is. If you haven't heard this before, this might be new to you, but the DBCC mission is to create a safe, welcoming place where those who are new to church or are hurt by past experiences can encounter God in ways to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Again, it's kind of our mission is aligned directly with the Great Commission. So you can say that you participate in that. And we want to make a safe place. And it takes safe people, people that are relational, people that are sharing their burdens and their flaws with others openly. They're being vulnerable, and that makes it safe for others to say, hey, I'm a mess too. You know, we did the great teaching not so long ago, imperfect people with a perfect God, right? And that's what we all need to be, and that's what we need to do to be relatable to people. And so it's important that we try and be a safe place filled with safe people. So I thank you for being humble, real, and relatable to everybody who darkens this door, and we appreciate that. As we've said, we're tracking along the genuine paradigm, so we're going to talk about what we're doing to execute and be genuine. That means fellowship. Ray has already talked about that, and that speaks to me. That's kind of a Christianese term that we use, and what it means is we're relational and relatable. That's kind of what I was talking about before, that we're relational, because no one has influence in anyone's life without relationship. We love him because he first loved us, as God established a relationship with us that made us safe, right? He accepted us unconditionally, and that started our relationship in a way that we knew we could be who we were, and he wasn't going to shun us or reject us, but rather he was going to help us become who he wants us to be if we humbled ourselves under his mighty hand. So that's kind of how we bring people into the kingdom. First is being relational with them. Keep going here. Let's keep moving. I'm going to go to the next point. Let's talk a little bit about what the starting point is. The starting point is weekend services, right? We baptized about 41 people last year that just started coming to the services. And I'm in that picture right there. That is AI generated, but believe it or not, actually, I'm not that good looking in real life. But the guy next to me is sitting right over there, Will, and it's going to be a special place in my heart from now until we see each other again in heaven, that I got the honor and privilege of baptizing you that day. We did 41 others that day. It was pretty fantastic. We have about 600 people that attend on a weekend service, about average of about that many in our services throughout the week. I would say we have about 12, between 900 people that our adults attend on a regular basis, about 150 watch online every single week. So we get to present the gospel every day of the doors are open, not just on weekends, but every day the doors are open, and every weekend service, it's a high value principle that the gospel is preached. And so we want to talk about Jesus as much as we possibly can and never leave him out of our encouragements on the weekend services. We start those introductions early. Where's my buddy Bradley? We start with the little kids and we move up through the junior hires. We don't want to wait till they get to be 18 and then say, okay, now's it's time to talk to you about Jesus. So Bradley, is your microphone up here? I'm just going to grab Luke's. That'll work. I forgot to grab that earlier. Will that work?
Check.
Do I need to grab one from back there?
Oh, hi, DB kids back in there, by the way. They're watching us over in the kids area right now. Check.
Well, let's do this real quick.
Turn it. I do have a loud voice, guys, but I know that...
I'm going to run back and grab a mic for you real quick.
All right.
Good job, Bradley. And just know if, oh my goodness, thank you for saving my voice. Just so that you guys know as well, if you hear the kids call me that, that's okay. So, but for me, guys, one of the things that's been reinforced for me this year is that family life is kind of a crazy life, but it's not meant to be done alone. And that's why throughout DB Kids, we get to put the 5 G's all across all the different aspects of children's ministry. And we are so excited and honored to partner alongside the families here at Desert Breeze. And whether you're in the sanctuary here or DB Kids, once again, if you guys are watching over in the other service, glad you guys are able to. Shout out to you guys. We get to emphasize sharing about Jesus Christ and the good news. Because we have a saying over in DB Kids. Is good news meant to be kept quiet? No! We're meant to share it. And we get to share it to over 200 kiddos who come on the weekends and their families. And not just on the weekends, but also throughout the weekdays of getting to love on the kiddos and families. But we have so many ways to partner alongside families. To give you a snapshot of what we've done this past year, even from going deeper in our Forge, our 5th and 6th grade ministry, getting to ask those questions over there, to our resource ministry, which is our special needs and disabilities ministry over in kids, being able to see how we can find ways to best share the gospel with them, to even our events, getting to share the events of putting Jesus first and building those relationships, to even, we're putting out content now over in DB Kids, booklets, building blocks, we call them over in DB Kids, where families can take them home and be discipled in the home. That is our heart cry to build disciples. And this is where it's not meant to be done alone. I'm so honored to be a pastor here, but not meant to be done alone. I'm so thankful for the team. My wife, Judy, is in that picture with me. She's also staff over in DB Kids. We also have other staff as well. We have Miss Chris, who's my number 2 over there in DB Kids. We have Ms. D, Ms. Dawn, Ms. Cheryl, Ms. Heather, Ms. Jessica, a whole group of childcare team, and a whole bunch of volunteers and even peer servant leaders, PSLs, not pumpkin spice lattes, but PSLs, peer servant leaders, who are DB kids who have a heart to serve. Man, even having that start at a very young age. And I just want to acknowledge any of those who are leaders or PSLs, volunteers, just raise your hand proudly because I want to acknowledge you. Just if you are, let's give you guys a round of applause because you guys. Thank you for pouring into the next generation and pouring into families. And families, thank you for coming and being a part of DB Kids. All righty, I have a whole group of kiddos who are waiting for me over there. Kiddos, you can do a 20-second countdown. I will be coming, start, go now. But if you would like to know more about DB Kids, go talk to someone who raised their hand or come and find me later. And thank you again for being part of DB Kids ministry here, guys.
Thank you, Bradley. What you didn't see, or maybe you caught it quickly as we transferred to his introduction to the team, was some of the stats in DB Kids. We could probably go back to that real quick. Can you go back just for a second for that for me? No, that's okay. Well, what I wanted to call out, a couple things, but not only how many volunteers and peer servant leaders, but this year's VBS, talking about an outreach aspect, Going Christians, they had over 250 kids at this year's VBS. That's an 11% improvement, and we're looking at close to 300 this year. So that's an incredible accomplishment. It's an incredible endeavor that happens annually, and you can kind of see how their attendance is tracked along the way. So, all right, let's keep moving along there, and I think we're on to the next slide where we're talking about anomalies. This is our anomaly stats. You can see some of those. Anomaly is every Sunday and Wednesday. They're averaging about 76. That's a 7% growth since last year. They have 20 volunteer servant leaders. 40 went to the camp this year. A great response to the camps in the winter and the mission trips, et cetera, this year. You can see how their stats are growing as well. Our anomaly pastor, our youth pastor for the anomaly team, Jace. Now, let's see his picture coming up there. This is Jace Meyer with his lovely wife, Brittany. She also helps him with that ministry. You know, he couldn't be here today. He had a really important appointment. And so in his stead, he's presented a video for us that you guys can just take a look at. So this is Jace
Meyer. Hello, Desert Breeze. Welcome to the State of the Church weekend. My name is Jace Meyer. I'm your youth pastor. Really excited to be here. Sorry that I'm not here in person. I had already taken this weekend off. There's something I had going on, some football game, I can't remember what. But I'm here with you in this way. And I'm excited to tell you about how Anomaly shows the 5Gs week in and week out our youth ministry. First of all, if you've never come over and just visited or poked your head in or experienced part of a service, this truly is the most genuine bunch of students that's been transformed by the gospel. They are not here each week to just check the box of going to church. They love being together, and it's an honor for me to see them learn and grow together. Speaking of growing, that is our second G that we look for, not only at Desert Breeze, but in Anomaly. This year, our minds are blown. We have 67 students, leaders, and parents that are involved in a Read Through the Bible plan. When we talked about this as a team, we hoped that 5 kids would sign up. 67 kids have committed to reading the Bible every single day and then participating in discussions. It is a beautiful thing. Please be praying for our students as they do that. Also, Pastor Matt probably mentioned this, but we have a group of 20 that are dedicated to leading our students, 20 volunteers that say, I'm here to mentor and disciple kids. The amount of growth that we've seen through that is absolutely phenomenal. This leads us into the giving G, and if you've ever been here on a fifth Sunday, then I don't need to say anymore. Our students are everywhere. They're greeting you, they're handing you bulletins, they're help leading the worship team. And on any given Sunday, you're gonna see them in DB Cafe making drinks for you, and of course serving in DB Kids as well, serving our little ones over there. Under the going G, last summer we were just blown away when 40 students signed up to go on our mission trip. We've never had that many kids, and I've never seen jobs completed so quickly by so many willing students that just stepped up and served. It was truly a beautiful thing to see as our kids stepped out of their comfort zone and said, I want to go and share the gospel. I want to go and share how Jesus has changed me. On top of that, we do a Super 6 program, and it's a semester-long program where we challenge kids to go outside of the Anomaly Circle and invite kids to come. Kids that need to hear about Jesus, kids that need to hear the gospel. And every semester that we've done this trip, we always have more than 30 first-time visitors come, and total visits eclipse 150 every single time. It is so fun to see. We do all of this for God's glory, and it is an honor to do it. It's an honor to be your youth pastor. It's an honor to lead this team and to lead our students, and looking forward to see what the Lord has for us in 2026. Thank you.
Yep. Great job, Jace. Enjoy your day off with your special plans. I'm really happy about what they're doing over there. In fact, all the kids' programs, all the junior high school programs are fantastic. One thing that excites me the most and is probably exemplary of taking intentional actions to execute along the G paradigm in Super 6 is exactly that. That was a conversation that started early on between Jason and I when we said, what are we going to do to create going Christians in Anomaly? We don't want to wait until they turn 18 and say, okay, now let's talk about evangelism. We should start practicing what you want them to do now, right? That's why when people that oppose us start indoctrinating our kids and children so they'll behave like they want them to, well, we want them indoctrinated with doctrine and the good solid doctrine and good biblical thinking to live their lives on. And that starts by teaching them very young. That's why the peer servant leaders is such an intentional action to create kids that want to give of their time and talents. And of course, with the Super Six, this is going out and inviting others from the community, and you saw the responses there. So we love that we're investing in the next generation, because they're the ones that are going to take over this church someday, and we want it to be healthy and growing from that point on. And that kind of leads me to my next point. Growing. What are we doing on the growing paradigm? We're talking about growing. And it's important, if you want to grow, like I said about intentionality, we're talking about making disciples all the time. That makes people diving deeper into God's word and wisdom. And what are we doing with intentionality there? Well, first of all, to do that, you have to have vision to do that. And I love this verse from Proverbs, without vision, people perish. Well, this also applies to churches. As a matter of fact, without vision, people perish, but also without vision, a church perishes. So the reality is that many of the churches, if you go to Europe, they're just following the woke culture, and they're dying. Many of those churches in Europe today aren't even churches anymore. They're either museums or nightclubs. So that's a true statement. You can do some research on it if you think I'm just talking out of tune here, but it's a true story. So it's really important to have vision, both as a person, you know, your vision for things of the Lord, but also your vision as a church. And to help us with that, we have a group of people called the Board of Elders. But before I go to that, I want to talk a little bit about where this vision started from. So I've got it written down here. A long time ago, in a land not so far away, a long blonde-haired young man and his sweet Georgia peach wife decided to do something really crazy to get married and start a church. Isn't that amazing? And what you see here today is a result of that vision coming into fruition. So we're so thankful for that. I brought up a little slide here to kind of take you along the paradigm. This is kind of when I came on board to Desert Breeze. We were driving down the road on Bell Road, and we saw a sign saying youth meets every Wednesday. And we had a young son who were desperately trying to get connected to a church, because we were actually doing a little church shopping. But we saw that sign of being pretty mature in Christ. It was more important that he would find a place to fit in, as long as they were preaching God's word biblically, and you know that was going to be fine with me. I wasn't enamored by any one particular preacher, and I knew that I could follow Jesus by myself if I had to, but I wanted to have a place for my son, so we pulled in, and that's where it started. And that was at Sensations Nightclub. Is anybody here that was around back then? There you go. Okay, Sensations. That's a true story. It's now a QT, and I would not recommend going there. It's a little bit treacherous if you drive in that parking lot. But anyway, that's where it was, 17th Avenue and Bell Road. And then after that, we moved up to Sandra Day O'Connor. We were busting at the seams in Sensations, and they wanted too much money to stay there. So we used our monies at that time to go to Church in a Box. Every week, this was a huge endeavor for the team and staff. I'm not sure if those of you who are here remember any of that or participated in that. But every week, they had to set up and break down. Everything was in a box. We rolled it up and set it up and then rolled it back out and did the same thing week after week. But the dream was always to have a place, we can go ahead to the next slide there, that would be more of a community hall, more of a cafe or a sports bar in its vibe, more opening to those who were maybe not necessarily churchgoers. We didn't want smelly carpet and closed pews and stuff. We wanted it to be a nice place where people could relax and enjoy that and be a safe place again that they could hear God's word and wisdom. And so this is what you've got. Now, that picture there is actually AI generated from an actual photo that shows how active the place is. That's a Wednesday night. That is not a Sunday morning, but the parking lot is packed on Wednesdays, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. So to get us to cast our vision, not just up to this point, but to take us further on, we thought it would be necessary to get a board of elders, and we established that back in 1995. I actually was one of the board of elders before I became the executive pastor here, but the president of that board happens to be also our founding pastor. And here's that lovely young blonde-haired man 40-plus, 50 years later, and is Georgia Peach by his side. That's Nancy Davis. You all know her, and I'm going to talk more about her later on, but Nancy is deeply involved and has been for since the time we started with women's ministry and driving that boat as well. So that's Ray and Nancy. He's the president. Then we've got Don Miles, the guy who helped me do this message. He's our chairman of the board. That's his lovely wife, Val. She works the sound booth on occasion. We can keep moving. I'll just flip through them. This is Brian and Carolyn Newsom. Brian is actively involved. Both of they together do a life group, but he's actively involved in a lot of prayer ministries there in her personal life. Carolyn does some counseling. This is Russ Davis and Kim. Russ is a part of the Intentional Men's Bible Study. He serves on the board as the vice president, making sure that as things go on, should our senior pastor ever retire or something else, he'll be in charge of taking on, make sure we maintain our spiritual vision and keep our spiritual rudder on course. Kim often, she helps with Anomaly. She sings on the worship team. She'll be leading at the women's retreat coming up. They're all actively involved in different things in the church. This is Justin Beeler and his wife, Claire. You'll see them around here quite a bit. Justin usually sits up here. He's also in the Intentional Men's Group, and his wife, Claire, kind of helps us host the Branches Homeschool Group, which fills the halls with almost 200 kids every single Tuesday in the semesters of the year. It's pretty exciting stuff, but she kind of facilitates that. Ryan and Rachel Reed. Ryan really highly supports the youth ministry as he used to work in that role, and his wife, Rachel, does DB Kids. And then we'll see we've got Larry and Susan Van Loo, who he's on the board, but they also are very active. Larry does Mending the Soul, but both of them serve in kids' church. As a matter of fact, Susan's probably over there right now. And last but not least, we've got Tom Sokrowski, serves on security as well as part of the elder board, and his lovely wife, Jody, who's the administrative accountant here at Desert Breeze. So that's the board of elders. If you ever want to talk to them, most of them kind of show up here at the end of services to actively pray for you, but you'll see them there, and they also, you might see them in the hallways doing different things, but wanted to introduce those to you. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the DB vision. What they cast for us wasn't just to keep that safe place, but to take steps to protect the core beliefs of our church. We want to work on paying the church debt off. We'll talk more about the Dare to Move program later on. But we want to pay that off because the less debt we have, the more ministry we can do. And you've been helping us do that for a couple years now, and we've made some great progress to that end. We want to build a healthy, vibrant church, as I said before, that can keep growing and keep going for generations to come. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and that's what we'd love to do here at Desert Breeze. So let's talk about growing in ministry, not just in attendance, but in participation. And the best person to talk to that, you can see that how our attendance is growing. You can also see in that chart how some of the classes are growing and the activities and the groups, all that's growing. But the best person to really talk more about that is our adult ministry pastor of adult ministries and outreach. So give a hand to Mark Young, please.
Thank you. It is an honor to serve the adults of Desert Breeze. There are many metrics that churches use, church nerds like Matt and I, that get lost in the numbers and the figures and the statistics. But there is one metric that I believe really demonstrates the health of a church. Are you developing?
They just saw the super apostle thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think they could tell it was me those 13 weeks that was in the bumper video. But anyway, the metric that shows a church's health the best, that is actually developing people who are pursuing God in a radical way, is what I call engagement. Engagement is when people aren't just attending church, they are the church. And we track engagement through three factors. We look at who are the people who are connecting in a group on a regular basis. Who are the people who attend one of our classes that we offer throughout the year? Who are the people who voluntarily serve on our teams on the weekends and on Wednesday nights? And this last year in 2025, we had 815 unique individuals that were engaged in some way, shape, or form here at Desert Breeze. That is a phenomenal number. Many churches hope that half of their people will be engaged. We run at about 70 to 80% of our people are actively engaged. And many of you in this room, as I look around, you are not just here on the weekends. You just don't pop in and pop out. You are actively part of the church. Now, the secret sauce to that number, 815, are our leaders who faithfully take care of our groups, participate in our teams, and lead our classes. And I have the privilege of once a month getting together with our leaders, usually on the second Sunday during this service, and we meet in the anomaly room. And I am so blessed by them and how much they pour into the people of Desert Breeze. If you are in any leadership capacity in any of those activities I just mentioned, would you stand for a moment? I know you're too humble and you don't want to, but stand anyway. If you are on leadership in any way, shape, or form,
come on, Vernon,
please stand.
Come on. There you go. And for those of you who showed up thinking that the leadership meeting breakfast was this morning, where you apologize, it's going to be next week, and to make it up for you, some cinnamon rolls.
Is this my time or your time?
Okay,
now,
okay.
Right now? Okay, that's what I thought. The people that just stood up are the reason why this church is thriving, because they pour into you on a regular basis in hours and days, and I'm just so privileged to know them and to be a part of them, and I want to thank them publicly because they are creating disciples. They are creating people who radically want to follow Jesus, and we're so grateful for that. We also oversee the outreach ministry. Matt's going to come back to that here in a couple minutes, but a lot of the things that we do outside of Desert Breeze, as we radically look to impact our city, our community, our country, and our world with the gospel of Jesus. You'll hear more about that in a few minutes. But thanks again for letting me be a part of Desert Breeze.
Thank you, Mark. Great job. So let's talk a little bit more about growing in particular and about different ministries that are here. And I would be remiss if I didn't kind of highlight the special ministry that's really close and dear to my heart. And that's the support ministries and prayer. I would call this like this: if the church is a hospital, this is kind of our ICU ward, okay? And we have some great ministries that will help you heal brokenhearted and give beauty for ashes and oil of joy instead of mourning. We talk about seasons of care for those who are doing that, celebrate recovery, mending the soul for men, for women. You've got the widow to widow and grief share, just to name a few. But these are happening actively. These are great ministries where if you're in a situation, there's actually people that can be with you and walk you through those things and bring healing and restoration. I also want to really highlight our prayer ministries. I love that we are a praying church. Anybody else appreciate that? Yeah, I mean, praise God, because it's an uncommon thing to have three or four elders or some pastors up at the end of every single service inviting you to come up and get some prayer time. I don't know about you, but I think it's unusual, and I think it's something very worthy of praise, and that's another example of how we grow and pour into the people that are here. You can get prayed for with the monthly elder meetings. Those usually happen on the third Wednesday. Sometimes we skip, but usually at those elders meetings, there's opportunity at the very front end to get prayer and anointing. We can send your prayer requests if you're interested. If you have prayer requests, send them to dbcc.com. We will pray for them in our staff meetings on Wednesday. We'll get them on the prayer chain. You will be lifted up mightily by a number of people that just have a heart of prayer, and you will get some ministry that way. So you can always send those over. Every second Wednesday of the month, Debbie Simmons does a hosting for some ladies. It's called Women Interceding for the Next Generation of Saints. That's a prayer meeting right here in the auditorium second Wednesdays. Thursday evening, Signs of Freedom and Deliverance. That's another prayer ministry that's actively and very healthy here at Desert Breeze every Thursdays. And of course, we have biannual days of prayer and linger evening. So there's no lack of opportunity. If you need prayer or would love to pray, you can participate in those things. But I want to call those out. This slide is kind of interesting too. And not because, as I showed you that slide before on Wednesday evenings of how busy we are, but this is an extremely busy slide. I don't expect you to read those, and I'm not going to read them to you. But what it does do is it exemplifies how busy Desert Breeze is. When we say we want that vision to include being a community hall or a place that could be used 7 days a week, a lot of churches, what do? They open on weekends. As a matter of fact, when I first told my sister-in-law that I was going to be transitioning to a job as an executive pastor, she goes, oh, you're going to work weekends now. I said, no, but what happens around here 7 days a week, and if you were to try to book a class now, as you've got to really work with Mark hard to find the right time slot and rooms availability, but that's a story of praise in itself, and all those are people that are helping others grow in Christ. It's amazing, and I think deserves a little hand. So let's keep moving, and we'll go on from there, see what's next. Let's talk about giving. This is important. We don't shy away from this, but we don't pass the plate. But when we talk about giving, it's ministering to the body with your time, talents, and treasures, and you guys do that so faithfully. We never pass the plate, but we don't shy away from making our needs known. As you may recall, if you were in any of the services last year, we hit a little bit of a kerfuffle. That's Don Miles' word, kerfuffle. You can use that if you like. I will never use it again. But around October, actually it was coming August, September, we were hoping for things to bounce back as they typically do after summer financially on the giving trend, and it didn't. That was coupled with about, so that led us to about a $46,000 deficit in giving on the weekly budget, and then that was coupled with about $46,000 or $50,000 in expenses that were well above replacing air conditioners and major problems with our grease trap, et cetera, et cetera. But that happened, and so we were in a tough spot, and we asked for your help, and I just have to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for your for faithful giving and support and digging us out, that you took us out of the red and into the black, and that's a story of praise to our God. Thank you so much. You can see the trend there. We ended up with a weekly average that was 31 against a budget of 28.5, and that's where our weekly budget is this year, so you can keep an eye on that. Just a quick word on Dairy to Move. If people wonder what that DYTM on the drop-down is, that means Dairy to Move. This is where we match funds, and we take these extra monies, and when we're hitting our budget and having excesses, we take those monies and make large sums of deposits against our principal payment to reduce our indebtedness. And we've done that so well in the last few years, thank you very much, that we took a $2.9 million loan and rubbed $1.2 million off of it, and now we have a balance of $1.7 million. When we come to refinance the remainder of our term, it'll be about $1.4 million, and that happens in August of 28. So we're reducing that principal so we can have, again, more monies to put. It's a huge praise for God, too, that we've knocked that so much. You've knocked that much off of it over the course of the last few years, so it's substantial, and it's going to change our refinancing terms substantially, and so that's a good news for everybody. So when we hit into 2028. So I really, really want to thank you for all that. But that's that. If you ever want to talk more to me about budget or numbers and stuff, we have open books. I'm the guy to talk to. Just schedule a meeting, and I'm happy to disclose anything you want to know, any curiosity. Where does this go? Where does that go? Where is that from? I'm happy to walk you through all of it so you can see it at any time. Let's talk more important. Now I'm talking about the part. This is my favorite part, actually. Sharing of your time and talents. This is where DBCC really, really shines, okay? The scripture for this says that you give and it will be given unto you. This particular verse is often hijacked by health and wealth preachers, but if you talk to anybody who's made that jump from just being a going Christian to becoming a giving Christian, an example would be like going on a missions trip. It's kind of going and giving, but they've decided that they want to give back. They want to pour back out from what's been poured in. And almost everyone you talk to says this: I went to serve, and oh my goodness, what God did in me was unbelievable. They're the benefactor. When you decide to step out and start giving of your time and talents, the true thing is God has like kind of a spiritual reciprocity going on, that you're the one who's blessed most mightily. So I encourage you, if you haven't stepped into that volunteer realm, if you haven't started doing that, maybe start doing that and see what God does with you in the midst of that. So I'll just say it this way. Has anybody seen the movie The Spartans? Any guys out there? You just don't want to tell me because it's pretty violent. Yeah, it's kind of gory and stuff. But this is what struck me when I did this stat. We have an army of over 300 adult and teen volunteers. This is the DBCC Spartans right here. These are spiritual warfare guys. They've got their weaponry out, the sword of the spirit. Yeah, and the shield of faith, all that. Extinguishing fiery darts. I like that their slogan was prepare for glory, which is what we're talking about today, right? All for God's glory. So that's that on the 300 volunteers. I celebrate you today. So in the Old Testament, they always marched to music. Music is spiritually powerful. This is an interesting fact. It connects the brain and heart via the vagus nerve. In other words, what you think, it shapes who you are emotionally, which results in action. So it's very, very important to us here. Spirit-filled music prepares us for our daily battles. It fuels our fire. And music on its own, music and song can dispel darkness. It's extremely powerful. So I'd like to introduce the officer in charge of one of our special ops battalions in that army. We're talking about Luke Connor and his giving of his heart and soul to the music ministry here at Desert Breeze.
We have a group of about 28 people that volunteer on the worship team. And on any given week, not including any practice they have at home, just practice here and during service, they put about 8 hours every week to be up here. So it really is them giving up their time and talents and treasures. And there's no limit to who God can use. Most of you guys probably saw Kaylin up here. I was just talking to her mom last night, and we realized that it was 3 years ago in January that she first started singing with us at 11 years old. So, yeah. There's no, you know, I slipped last night. I said the next generation. There's no next generation. They're all God's people. They're not gonna be God's people. They're God's people now, and they serve here now. And we take it very seriously. When I come up here, the Bible says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And so every time we come up here to worship, that is an opportunity for us to connect and meet with God personally. And that's what we try to do every week. So.
Thank you, Luke. Fantastic. So another special ops team we have here is our DB Cafe.
Yay.
Yay, DB Cafe. Go ahead and click all those for me. I don't know if you know this or not, but we actually have our cafe open on Wednesdays now. That's an awesome thing. They're open on the weekends and Wednesdays. All the profits that we have from the DB Cafe go to support our missions and outreach efforts. We had about 17,000 last year. This year we topped that by about 8% at 19,000. Thank you for supporting missions and outreach through your, get it, supporting. I thought that was, I know, it was bad. That's totally showing my grandpa's side of that one, sorry. But that's what I did. So a volunteer team of almost 50 over there, and as Luke said, a lot of them are from our anomaly team who will be in the service next service. If you want to get some energy going, just come back for a second round of this and wait till we announce the anomaly team. This is Amber Murtaugh. She leads the team. She's part of our staff here, and she has some volunteers that, or actually, these people are all staff as well. Go ahead and bring all those up. This is Wendy Knowles. This is Megan Wagner, and of course, Roque Salcido. Megan primarily is the one person who drives Wednesday nights for us, and that's the team at the DB Cafe. Do you not appreciate the beverages over there? They do a great job over there. Okay, let's keep moving. We're coming to land the plane. I've got a couple more things here. We're going to talk about going, which is evangelism. What are we doing to go beyond the campus and out into the world? We can bring all that up here. You can see, as Mark alluded to, DB Outreach. This is talking about the Dream Center, the Angel Tree. Project Angel Tree actually benefited a couple of ministries, but primarily the Dream Center. My wife is very involved with the Dream Center. She meets with some of their leaders every single month, and she came back with personal stories of how it touched the hearts of every person there at the Dream Center when they opened their door on Christmas morning to go down to breakfast and found a gift basket full. She said there were tears. It was pretty emotional. But thank you so much for that. It's how you support us every year on outreach. We can go back with Thanksgiving food drive, except you saw the slide. So you guys are going. There's lots of outreach efforts going on. The Dream Center built 8 rooms this year. All the turkey drive, we have almost 200 meals, et cetera. It's pretty important. So as I said, we're about landing the plane. Let's talk about glory. Worship is more than just the music we play and the songs we sing before service. As Ray was saying in his little mini sermonette today, it's at the heart of all we do at Desert Breeze all day, every day as Christ followers. I want to introduce to you a sixth G very quickly, and I'll talk about this one. There we go. Oh, well, we have some verses. Thank you. Yeah, I forgot some very important. God has most glorified us when we find our satisfaction in him. That's from the book of Ray, chapter 1, verse 8. And then he wrote in chapter 2, you were made by God for God to give glory to God. And that's our senior pastor. And I've got a copy of that book on my desk. All right, so I'm going to do kind of a 6G, and this is part of the fuel that drives us here. Let's keep moving there. We're almost there. One more, two more. There we go, gratitude. For me, this is the fuel that drives us all to action. I am so grateful for our Lord and Savior and what he's done and is doing in my life, and this is my wife, and I think it's what drives everything. For me, anyway, I'm so grateful to God. I mean, he delivered me and my wife both from cancer this year. So, yay, God. Speaking of every good and perfect gift, she was briefly on the screen for a moment. That was my lovely wife, Deborah. But how about some other people that need to have some an extra little bit of a shout out, some sincere doers of the word? Again, I want to highlight Nancy. I can't tell you how grateful I am for her, not just as a person who does the women's ministry, but as our office administrator. She's like so helpful. Like, I've run businesses for a long time, but church is a little bit different, and so I can't tell you how much I value her life experience there and how much I depend on her to help us do this right. And so thank you, Nancy. Yeah, she does a lot. Right next to her with her elder husband, this was Jody Sikrowski. I mentioned her before. She's another one of my go-to people for all things with money and everything else. We're always talking about the finances and how we navigate this, how to put things in savings, how to handle the expenses, how to budget things out. But I couldn't do it without Jody. It's Jody Sikrowski. Of course, everyone knows Gary. He's our facilities director. His lovely wife, Carol. Please be praying for Gary. If you haven't been praying for Gary, you should know that he's hoping to come home tomorrow. So he's been in and out of the hospital for almost 4 weeks. So on that note, I should say thank you so much for those of you who just called the office saying, hey, I know Gary's out. What can I do? I'll do toilets. I'll do bathrooms. I'll do, you know, mopping. I'll do whatever. And thank you from me to you for stepping up and kind of filling in the gaps there. Okay, we have some more people that are kind of the unsung heroes, and we're going to land the plane. We want to talk a little bit about this gentleman right over here, Michael Bove, ASL Ministry, every Sunday at service. Thank you, Michael. We love you and appreciate you. I think they have about 50 followers in the ASL Ministry watching faithfully. Caleb, I want to just kind of give him and his wife, Tricia, another little bit of a shout-out because they go beyond just working with the Anomaly team. But Tricia helps with almost all the activities and events that happen here at church, whether it's Mother's Day or recently just a wedding reception. She does all kinds of those facilities. She's our go-to person. If you were planning to do a wedding reception here or a wedding and you don't have a planner already, she's the go-to planner for that, and she makes that happen, and we insist that you have a planner to do those events properly here. And, of course, I want to kind of shout out to Amanda Connor, who's Luke's wife. Yeah, and those of you who see her, she's off and around with a camera taking photos of things. She's not only in charge of a lot of the artwork, and so stuff, but she's also in charge of all the driving the website, keeping that up to date, doing all the photos and things. And of course, I didn't shout out to him, but Nathan is back there somewhere. And there's Nathan Connor. He's the guy who does drums, helps with Anomaly, and as I said before, helped me with this presentation. I'm so thankful to him. And he also helps do all the bumper videos. So if you love them, complain to talk to him. If you hated them, complain to me. So anyway, Nathan, thank you so much for that. I appreciate all that. The last but not least, the unsung heroes that we were going to land the plane with are our security team. I want to say thank you to Nick Bimers and Donnie Voss, who's standing right over there. They help keep us safe. And I should say, their team has never been healthier. I think we have almost 30 guys on that team now. It's pretty incredible. And so that's that. All right. Well, thank you for your time. I did much faster than last night. We're going to get out of here right on time today. So I'm sure Ray will be pleased, as will our child care workers. But I just want to say I am so honored and thankful to be your XP. And I hope you do God right and do you right in the process. If I do God right, I'll know I'll do you right by you. So let me just pray and close us. What do you think? Lord Jesus, our hearts are filled with praise. We enter your gates with praise and thanksgiving, knowing that you will give us peace that passes all understanding, and you'll meet us where we are. Lord, continue to bless every single person here today, Lord, that they would know you and know you sincerely and deeply, Lord, that they would grow in you, Lord, that they would give of their time and talents, and that they would go forth into the world and make disciples. Lord, I pray you empower them by your Spirit to walk in a manner worthy. Lord, that you would empower them by their Spirit to do things in and of themselves they would not do in their natural self. Lord, let us experience you in the presence of every single moment. Let us keep our minds stayed on you as you keep your mind always on us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be up at the end of here if you want to pray or something like that. I'll have a few elders if you need prayer, okay? So come on up if you have any questions.